This is Chad Harrison, and you're listening to Hope Alive, applying God's Word to your daily life. Hi, this is Chad Harrison, and I am the teaching pastor of Lake Community Church and have been serving as a pastor for 25 years. I'm also a practicing attorney. This podcast is designed to help you study God's Word and find God's will for your life. I pray in the name of Jesus right now that God would open up His Word to you and allow you to see Him and to know Him and to know His will, that you might glorify Him and that you might walk in faith and power each and every day, especially today, in Jesus' name.
Welcome to Lake Community Church's Morning Bible Study. We're in Exodus chapter 39. There's 30 chapters in Exodus, and we're in the 39th chapter. It's exciting to work our way through, to really have had the opportunity to work my way through books in the Old Testament, Psalms, Genesis, and Exodus. If you're studying with me and you're doing it on Facebook, you can go back to the archives of Lake Community Church and find the Bible studies there. You have to scroll a long way to get back there, because we started this Bible study the second week of COVID, meaning the second week of the lockdowns. The church didn't stay locked down for very long, but we kept on doing the Bible studies. And these Bible studies have, like I said, navigated three large books in the Old Testament. If you're able to do that, and you're just trying to figure out where to find us, where to find what we do, we're Hope Alive, and you can usually find that at any of your podcast sites, your apps with podcast on them. It's just Hope Alive. My name's Chad Harrison. Anyway, you just go and find those, and they have them listed, and it's maybe easier to scroll down and download them and find them that way. But anyway, we're in Exodus chapter 39, and as we go through this, the title to the whole chapter, remember, that's not in the Bible. We talked about that last week, but it gives us kind of an outline, kind of shows us what we're going to be talking about. And we're talking about the garments of the priesthood. So if we're going to talk about the garments of the priesthood, we'll talk about a couple of things. First of all, garments, clothing, scripturally represent the covering of sin, and that is a picture of the work of God. God covers our sin. God is the one who provided the sacrifice for our sin, the atoning sacrifice for our sin in Jesus, and so He covers our sin, and clothing is a picture of the covering of our sin. We see that in the garden when they ate the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Then that day they surely died, meaning their spirit died, and their spiritual relationship with God, or the aspect of them that had a relationship with the eternal God, was broken. And so then Jesus tells Nicodemus in John 4, you must be born again. And Nicodemus goes through the whole thing and says, how can I go back in my mother's womb? Because he was part of the Sanhedrin. That means he's at least 70 years old, probably over 70. And that was a good question to ask Jesus. And Jesus said, spirit gives birth to spirit, flesh gives birth to flesh. I say you must be born again. What he's saying is that, Nicodemus, you're talking about fleshly things, I'm talking about spiritual things, and you must be born of the Spirit. And that is the work of God. Just the original creation of man in the garden is a work of God. So the new birth is a work of God. And when we are born again, we go back to being made in the image of God, or we go back to being in the image of God, in His likeness. We're a tripart being. He's a tripart being. And He's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And if you want to put them in order, that means soul, Father. The Father is the will and the heart of God, the intellect, the desires of God. Our soul is the same for us, which would be our bodies. And Jesus is the physical manifestation of God. As far as the Godhead is concerned, Jesus and our bodies are the aspects of the different parts that make us in His image. We have a physical manifestation, and sometimes that is not very, we don't love that, but we do have a physical manifestation, and Jesus has a physical manifestation. And then, obviously, the Holy Spirit and our spirit commune with each other inside our hearts, and they rule our soul, or draw our soul toward God. And when we're born again, just as Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit in Mary's womb, so we have a new spirit conceived in us. And then we have the capacity or the ability to have a relationship with God. We have that aspect of us that is in the eternal, or has a spiritual walk with God, and we have that. And if you are clothed in Christ, you are clothed in a perfect righteousness. You were wearing the kingdom of the righteous one. And so that righteousness is born of him, and you are clothed in his righteousness. When you're born again, God does not see your sin. He sees Christ's righteousness, and he attributes. A lot of people think God forgets about our sins. He doesn't forget about our sins. The Bible doesn't teach that. What the Bible teaches is that he places those sins on Christ. And so they're no longer attributable to you, but they're attributable to Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. And so our sins are placed on Christ, and they're remembered against us. No more. And he's not holding it against us. Why? Because we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ, meaning we're justified before God. We're okay with God. We're good. And we have relationship with him. We have communion with him. And that is a powerful message to hear. That's a powerful understanding to have. I want you to hear me today. That is a powerful understanding to have, that you're clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and that as far as God's concerned, when he sees you, he doesn't see your sin. He's placed that on Christ when he placed it on him on the cross. John says he bore the sin of the whole world to the cross. He doesn't see that sin against us, because by faith we rest with him, and we rest with him by faith because we have the righteousness of Christ. We're okay. We're right with God because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. And so that is the plan. That's how it works. And so what we find so interesting about Exodus chapter 39 is that we are studying what it means to bear or wear, probably wear is the better way to say it, to wear the righteousness of Christ, to be clothed in his righteousness. And you go, how do you know that for sure? I know it for sure, because if you remember in chapter 38, and it was just a couple of Bible studies ago, maybe the last Bible study. In fact, I think it was the last Bible study. But if you remember, the alley gate around the fence, around the tabernacle, had one entrance. It had one gate in. And remember, Jesus said, I am the gate. And he was not talking about some mystical gate. He was telling them that when you think about the temple and the entrance to the temple, or when you think about the tabernacle and the entrance to the tabernacle, there's only one way in, and from that way, I'm the only way. That's why he says, I am the way. He says, I'm the gate, and I'm the way in. I'm the only way in. And if you remember that fence or rail that they set up and took down, that rail of linen, white linen, pure white linen, and then for the temple, it would have been immediately a rail or a flat rail. Remember, that rail, there was no way in except through that entry point, which they called the gate. Okay. And in fact, when we worship, the Bible says we're to enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. We're to enter in to his worship with thanksgiving and praise. Jesus said, I'm the gate. I'm the way in. There's no other way but me. And that is one of the powerful passages that explain to us where the beauty of Christ, he understood he was God, and that he understood he was the only God. He's the only way in. So when you have people say, no ways to God, the answer to that would be, if you believe that, that's fine, except for Jesus said, I'm the only way in. So your belief is going to fall pretty much totally out of line with what Jesus said. And if that's the case, then you are putting yourself on some very high footing, saying that you're the way in and nobody else knows the way in. You figured out there's many ways. And Jesus, who is by far away the most important human figure in history, said he was the way. And remember, either he was crazy, which nobody wants to say that, he was a liar, meaning he knew he wasn't the only way. He just lied to everybody. I'm going to say that most of the world would say that's not true. Well, he was telling the truth. And if he was telling the truth, then he's the only way in. He's the gate. And the reason we know he's the gate is, remember, that gate was not made the same way as the rest of the fence for the tabernacle and the rest of the linen walls that were set up. Remember, it was woven linen because linen is the cloth of the priesthood, but it was blue, purple, and scarlet thread. And Linda talked about that. Blue stands for the eternal relationship we have with God. Purple stands for the royalty of Christ, and scarlet stands for the sacrifice that he made so that we could have that relationship with him. So you've got blue, purple, and scarlet thread. They were woven in, and they made a pattern of the angelic, meaning that Jesus is the bridge between the temporal universe that we live in and the eternal kingdom of God that we're a part of. So he links us from our physical bodies to the eternal kingdom that God is at work building through us. And those threads picture that. They picture eternality, they picture the royalty, and they picture the way it happened through the thread. And they made the garments of, it says, of the blue, purple, and scarlet thread, they made garments of ministry for ministering in the holy place, and made the holy garments for Aaron, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Now remember, Aaron is the high priest who is going to go into the Holy of Holies. He's a human being who is going to wear the same threads, the same clothing, as Jesus said he was when he said, "I am the gate." The clothing of Aaron was not a pure white garment. It was a garment woven with the threads that represent who Jesus Christ is. As he is the gate, when we put on the clothing of Christ, we put on what? We put on his eternality. We have to. When we're born again, we receive a new spirit. That spirit lives both inside of us and in the eternal. It is an eternal spirit. It doesn't have to be either or. God's not either. God exists in his eternal state of holiness. And he also exists on the earth. He exists in creation. So he exists outside of creation and in creation. How? Because he has his life, and his life is called eternal life. He is an eternal being. We have the, and so when we have a new human spirit, we have the ability to have that eternal aspect to who we are. He is a, so when we read that it's blue, there we see the eternality of God. We also have a royal priesthood. Did you know that? Scripture in the New Testament, it goes to this many, many times. All of the writers of the New Testament allude to it, and then some of them go into great detail. John loves it. Peter loves it. Paul loves it. We are a holy priesthood. We're set apart. We have the ability to go and meet with God. How do we have the ability to go and meet with God? We've been atoned for, sins have been paid for, and we have eternal life. And so we have a relationship with God in the eternal. So we've been atoned for, and we've been atoned. And that's the scarlet and the blue. And when you put the blue of eternality and the scarlet of atonement together, what do you get? You get the purple of royalty. You get the royal priesthood. If you'll notice, if you put those two together, that's the color you get, right? If you put the blue of eternality together and the scarlet of the atoning sacrifice, you get the royal priesthood. And that's who we are. And so when they made the clothing for Aaron, who was a picture of, here it is, he is a picture of us because he is the high priest. We may never need a high priest. We have the eternal high priest in Jesus. And then Jesus says, you are a holy priesthood. And in fact, in the book of the Revelation, twice it says, have they not been made a kingdom of priests or kings and priests before us? Wow, we are a kingdom of priests, meaning we're in a kingdom and we have direct access to God. And that's what the high priest had. He had that direct access to God. Did you know he had direct access to God? Did you know that? I know we love to put preachers on pedestals and make them spiritual so that we don't have to be spiritual. But let me tell you something. That is it's a shame, and it is, in many ways, it's dishonoring of the work of Jesus Christ when you refuse to operate in your God-given, Jesus paid for position as a priest in the holy priesthood that God has made. You go, why would you say that? Well, because if God made me for something and I refuse to do it, or I want somebody else to do it for me, And we saw that on the mountaintop. Remember when Moses brought them out? When you do that, you undermine the whole work of God in your life. And God doesn't want you to take me or any other pastor, and most pastors understand that's a terrible place to be in. Most pastors I deal with, no, I don't want to be on a pedestal. I don't need to be on a pedestal. Now, there's some whose egos get out of control, but God will handle them. But for most of us, we understand we're not perfect, and we're not Jesus, and we don't need to get in between God and God's people. We need to be the shepherds who are shepherding his people toward him. And you need to be going toward God. When you wear the priestly garments, and by the way, spiritually speaking, you are always wearing them. When you're wearing those priestly garments, you have access for ministering in the holy place. Well, where's the holy place? It's in the presence of God. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Train of his leg filled the temple. The glory of God was there. The angel said, "Hey, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and ever shall be." That's speaking to the eternality of who he is. And speaks to his name, the great I am. And you have access to that. Not only do you have access to that, you're an honored guest. Because God sees Christ in you when you wear that priestly garment. And you ought to go and function as a priest. You ought to go and meet with him. You ought to go and see him. You ought to go and know him. And so when we read that, we get to read about those priestly garments, it wasn't just for Aaron. These are foreshadowings of what we have. And we should study them and know them and understand them and walk in them. And I know the reason you're watching this Bible study, and maybe down the road years from now listening to this Bible study, you're seeking those things out. Let me encourage you. You have the right to go into the Holy of Holies and meet with God. That right was not earned by you, but that right was given to you. And you honor God, and you honor the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross and through the grave and out of the tomb. You honor him by functioning in the role that he paid for you to have.
As you go today, I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you, that he'll make his face to shine upon you, and that he will give you hope and peace today in Jesus' name.